Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for January the 31st in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing fantastic. Pray you had a God, family, country style weekend. And hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. First off, a recap of Saturday's show. We had a guest on, Michael Storm, and Michael is the host of a radio program called Toward Anarchy, and it's a radio show / podcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network and then on Michael Storm's website, towardanarchy.com. And Michael is a broadcast and journalism professional of more than 20 years, including top 50 markets in radio and television. He's been a producer, a host, and a whole lot more. Anyway, he's fun to talk to. And we talked about Senator Mitt Romney test positive for the COVID. Even though he and his wife, Ann, are fully vaccinated, boosted, he still got the cocoa, proving the vaccines don't work. Our prayers are with his family. I don't agree with the senator on anything, but I sure hope he and his family are okay. Vaccinated parents, they say, give COVID protection to unvaccinated children, study finds USA Today. So to those of you who say the vaccine doesn't affect those around the vaccinated, oh, yes, it does. Proof is in the pudding. USA Today with the article. Or are they peddling fake news? Huh? Biden literally shook hands with people without wearing a mask Friday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, despite telling everybody that wearing a mask is your, quote, patriotic duty. Joe, by the way, now is set to put forth guidelines regulating cryptocurrencies in the coming weeks. The initiative, believe it or not, will involve all kinds of government agencies. They say the State Department, the Treasury Department, the National Economic Council, the Council of Economic Advisors, and the White House, just to name a few. Oh, yeah, I forgot the National Security Council will be involved as well. It will charge the agency with, quote, developing a coherent regulatory framework for digital assets, they say. Sounds scary as all get out, and it sounds like the opposite of everything digital currency or the crypto folks stood for, right? Time will tell how that goes. That was hour one. Hour two, we continued with Michael Storm. Incredible interview. We dropped Michael and I continued, I guess. Does Sam really agree with the anarchy movement is the question. You got to go back and listen. You'll know. Senator Rand Paul grills Anthony Fauci for trying to suppress, quote, lab leak theory. More evidence coming out that Fauci knew the lab leak theory was way more reality than fiction, but yet he chose to squash it. The mainstream press doing the bidding of Fauci. What a shame it is. But the truth comes out and shall make us free. We talked about Toyota, believe it or not, now working with, quote, Japan Space Agency on a vehicle called Lunar Cruiser to explore the lunar surface. They say they have ambitions to help people live on the moon by 2040 and then move on to live it on Mars. Yeah, you think people are going to be living on the moon by 2040? Not hardly, since we never went to the moon yet, by the way. We're going to have an incredible upcoming interview to highlight that on your radio soon. Frank Sinatra, quote, "Fly Me to the Moon." We played that song because it was kind of relevant to the Japanese, lunar vehicle story. We also talked about scientists take issue with Joe Rogan podcast, okay? They say that the discussion relating to experts by guest Jordan Peterson is dangerous nonsense. Now, Jordan Peterson, in my opinion, made the most salient argument. Doesn't matter if you're a scientist. Doesn't matter if you're, quote, expert in your field. Jordan Peterson appeared as a guest, telling an estimated 11 million listeners that climate models get less reliable the further out you go, the further out you look. As with weather forecasts or anything else, as you stretch out the models across time, the errors increase radically, said Peterson. Now, I don't see how you disagree with that. I don't see how scientists can disagree with that if they have any common sense whatsoever. We're going to bring on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org now. And Lowell, I don't know if you heard this argument, but Jordan Peterson was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he basically said, hey, climate change, the longer they, you know, project the models, the less accurate the models are. The further you go out, the more time, the greater chance for error. Now, this is a fundamental scientific fact, but yet the scientists all now attacking Jordan and attacking Joe Rogan for making such a claim, saying how irresponsible and they are. You're a computer guy for a living. If you create a computer model, the longer the model goes, isn't it logical there's more errors?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, if you're talking about over time, right, with time.
Yeah, he's just saying the further out you go, the longer time you try to project for, the more errors there will be in your model by factual scientific reality. I don't care if you're an expert in the field or not. That is the facts.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the only way you can get better, Sam, is if you have data which you track and which you factor into your current model. So, like, if you're always a day late and you estimate you're going to get something to me on day five, but you always get to me on day six, see, I can build my model to always, you know, compensate for the fact that you're always underestimating, right? And so I can get more and more accurate. But that requires that the model be self-correcting. And so, you know, if you have data points along the way, then sure, yeah, you can become more accurate with time.
But still, even if you have data points along the way, the further out over time your model is. I don't care what data you have in the past. If you're talking about the future, the longer the model is, the greater chance for error, just based on fact. The longer the numbers of calculations, the greater the numbers of calculations, the longer the number of days or time. I don't care what model you have. You might be more accurate than if you don't have data. I agree. But you're still going to be less accurate over time. It's impossible not to. More transactions, more projections, more assumptions creates more possibilities for errors. It is not debatable.
There you go. Yep.
And they literally take him on and say he's not an expert in the field. How dare him? Shame on them. Kick Joe Rogan off Spotify because they're peddling climate change, fake news, and dishonesty. It is amazing. Their credibility now, when they say this kind of thing, even the average American can go, wait a minute, even though I'm not a scientist, that doesn't make sense to me. They've gone now and they've crossed the Rubicon of pure idiocy, and their whole credibility is being destroyed with the preposterous claims they're making and the people they're attacking that are so common sense. Even the average American could see it this time, Lowell.
Yeah, that's a value, really, for the idiocy of politicians and their claims and the newspapers and their claims and Big Pharma and their claims. I mean, even the common man can begin to see through that nowadays, Sam.
Let me tell you why I spend so much time on that. Ladies and gentlemen, let's apply this to the voting reality now. Headline, 10 Reasons to End. Listen. VBM. That stands for Vote by Mail, right, Lowell?
That's right.
All right, so the more transactions you put the voter ballot through, the more interactions, the more transactions, the longer it takes to get my ballot, one, filled out by me, and the more transitions it goes to get the ballot to me and back safe for counting, the more involvement there, the less reliable it will be. We're talking about the same reality principle here, aren't we, Lowell?
Yeah, it sure sounds like it, Sam.
All right, let's talk about this for a minute then. 10 reasons to end vote by mail. And all of these reasons really have to do with what I kind of highlighted here. This is a scientific fact. The more hands you put something through, the more places something is delivered, just like this time over, you know, climate data, the more details, the more complicated it becomes, and the greater room for error. And vote by mail has the greatest amount of details in all voting thus far, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. So we call this chain of custody. In other words, who has control of your ballot from the moment it leaves your hands until the moment it's counted? Well, chain of custody issues goes way up, meaning the opportunity for corruption or the opportunity for failure of the system goes way up the more issues you have, chain of custody. And so you might fill out your ballot at your kitchen table and then put it in an envelope. You can put it out in your post office, in your mailbox. Mailman picks it up. And, of course, it goes down to the post office, and then they handle it. They decide where it goes, and it goes to another bin, and then it goes to a bag, and the bag goes to, you know, the county clerk's office, and they handle it several times before it gets to the counting room. Well, that's very different from the old-time way of voting, which is you show up at the poll, you get the ballot in your hands, you cast the ballot, and then you put the ballot back in the counting box or the box to be counted. And so
hold on, all the while that box is locked, at least it's supposed to be.
That's right, and people are watching that box. And so people, poll watchers, can see that nothing has gone in that box that shouldn't. And so there is no chain of custody issue in that scenario. Sam?
When we come back, we'll talk more about it, because Lowell didn't even talk about the leg where they just send out a ton of ballots, possibly getting them in the wrong hands before you sit down at your kitchen table to fill it out, too. We're going to go over these 10 reasons. This is serious business, folks, but the principles that we talk about relating to Joe Rogan absolutely apply. Doesn't matter what field you're in.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4:00 in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org with me. We're talking about real serious issues, folks. We're talking about this reality, whether it be Joe Rogan and climate change discussion, or whether it be Lowell Nelson and vote ballot discussions. We got to have an end to VBM. That's vote by mail. There's 10 reasons to end that, ladies and gentlemen. We got to return to paper ballots counted by your neighbors. Join us today. SecureVoteUtah.org to learn more about it, or get a secure vote, whatever your state is, rolling in your area. But I'm saying to you that everything you highlighted is true, Lowell. But that's not even counting when they just send out the ballots blanket to everyone under the sun. Who knows how many ballots get into the wrong hands before you even sit down at the kitchen table. So what we're talking about is a very controlled situation where you go to the voting booth, you take a paper ballot in your hand, you vote, You then put it in a box that's locked and watched, so we know the ballot got in my right in the correct hand. We also know then that it's under very controlled conditions, and it's a very limited amount of time. If I vote at 8 a.m. or I vote at 6 p.m., it's only several hours under very public scrutiny, my ballot. The chain of custody is solid as a rock in there. But now when you send out ballots to millions, and you do it weeks, possibly months in advance, you have now increased the time and the number of transactions and exposures under less rigorous, narrow, safe, protected conditions. And now you've opened up a can of worms based on this very principle that we're talking about, Lowell.
Well, you hit a nail on the head there. Counterfeit ballots can be introduced into the system this way. In fact, the group called True the Vote put together data showing that various individuals, the same individuals, repeatedly visited ballot box locations, you know, drop box locations, and they did so in a methodical manner, day after day. And so they would visit these drop box locations, and they were stuffing the drop boxes with ballots. So these counterfeit ballots that got introduced into the system. It's just one of the 10 reasons why we need to end vote by mail. Another one is that you got central tabulation by computers, and nobody can watch your computer count a ballot. It's physically impossible because it happens with electricity, right? Electrons inside the computer. So there's no way that a person can actually watch a computer count ballots. It just doesn't work that way. Where if you go to manual count, which is what SecureVote Utah is pushing, then yes, onlookers can watch the ballots being counted one by one. So there's no question about the veracity of the outcome of the election. You don't have to show ID to vote by mail, Sam. You know, when you visit a polling location, you have to show ID in order to get your ballot and write your name down in the log there. But if you vote by mail, don't have to. Who knows who voted that ballot that came in the mail? Nobody knows. Well, those are just five reasons so far. Sixth reason, the secret ballot, it may not be so secret. If you vote by mail, if you vote on the kitchen table, then what about the coercive influence maybe of a family member who is there at the kitchen table helping you vote, so-called, quote-unquote, helping you vote? Well, that's not a completely secret ballot. Whereas you go to a voting booth at a precinct location, you and you alone in that voting booth, it truly is a secret ballot.
Or counting even not to mention secret, even in this case, what if I know that my spouse or you know that your spouse or your adult son or daughter or whatever, you know they vote in a way that you don't approve of. So they fill out their ballot, they set it in a pile for the mail to go out, and I take out the mail, put it in the mailbox, and I just deep six that ballot.
Yeah, man.
Now, you can say, well, Sam, come on now, that's your family. I know. I get it. I'm just telling you, every opportunity for error increases the longer the time frame is, in other words, the openness of that, and the less custody or the less guarantee that those ballots are in safe, non-tamperable situations. That's what we're talking about. And the likelihood of climate change models being inaccurate and the likelihood of this vote chain of custody being accurate increases in a very negative way over time and with how many transactions or whatever you want to say, transitions these ballots take, Lowell.
Exactly right. And counting these ballots that are returned by mail takes days. And you have this week, it's like 3 weeks where early voting can occur. And then you've got days after the final day, election day, where counting occurs. And it just takes forever. You know, and it takes longer now to determine the outcome of the election than it did decades ago when we just counted them by hand on the day of the election. That razor close presidential election of 1960 between Nixon and JFK is an example. But everybody knew that before morning the next day, who had won that election. Whereas nowadays, it takes weeks before you know.
And even things that may not be directly related to fraud. For example, well, we had a holiday. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we need to have an extra day that the ballots can come in by the mail. Or, you know what, the mail had a blip. They've been overwhelmed by, you know, some holiday or some this or some that or whatever. Even debates that are common sense can change the outcome of elections. Even if there's not intention of fraud, there's just, well, we got to agree on exactly when the cutoff is going to be. And we extended it, or in this county, it's this time, in that county, it's that time. And there's anomalies here, folks. This is why I'm saying that it increases the odds that things are not on the up and up. They're not correct, even for simple things such as that, Lowell.
Yeah. One other big one is there's no exit polling when you vote by mail. An exit poll has been shown to be the most accurate indicator of the outcome of an election. And if an exit poll differs from the election results by more than 1 or 2 percentage points, then you know, you can rightly suspect that the election has been tainted. Exit polling is so helpful, but we don't get any of it in vote by mail. So those are just, I've just enumerated 7 or 8 reasons of the 10. Now you can go to SecureVoteUtah.org to hit to catch every single reason and review them in more detail. But those are some of the most important reasons why we need to get rid of vote by mail. And by the way, I just noticed a couple of weeks ago that the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court ruled, well, I don't know which court it was, take that back. One of the state courts in Pennsylvania ruled that voting by mail was unconstitutional in their state. Kind of a landmark decision. This may be the beginning of turning the tide against voting by mail. Sam?
And one last point on this before we move on to other topics. I find this fascinating. You would think that everybody would be clearly for this. You would think everyone would want the custody of ballots to be in the most secure state possible for the least amount of time possible. It's obvious that that would, you know, produce the most transparent, stable, consistent, honorable results. But you know what? We're getting fights about this tooth and nail. And you kind of wonder what drives the agenda to think the other way. Same thing with climate change. Maybe they've got an agenda that doesn't square with the reality. Either way, SecureVoteUtah.org. Get involved if you're in Utah, or start your own secure vote, whatever, in your state. But for Utah, SecureVoteUtah.org, we got to return to paper ballots counted by your neighbors, ladies and gentlemen. All right, the Utah legislative session is in session. It's 45 days long. I call it the reign of terror. And it's only 9 days in. And wow, boy, howdy, do we have a crazy, I don't even know what to say. It's like the reign of terror. The only way I know to describe it, Lowell.
Well, as an example of what is so terrible about it, on the agenda in today's Utah House Judiciary Committee meeting, which convenes at 2 o'clock this afternoon, is a bill, HB 99, entitled Civil Commitments Amendment. So I read this bill, and I oppose the bill because it would grant to a local health authority, to a local health and person, authority to take a child away from his parents simply because the child's parents do not consent to an evaluation or a treatment, you know, such as a vaccine, and someone else comes along, someone else like a doctor or a healthcare worker, believes the child has a mental illness, such as believing in God, for example. I mean, we have a lot of people that think that believing in God is a mental illness. So it's not a stretch to believe that some healthcare worker can, you know, look at your child who happens to believe in God and say, he's mentally ill. We got to take him away from his parents because we got to save him from himself. We got to save him from other people. Sam?
Believing in an unknown higher deity than government is certainly a mental illness. They would lie. What they're really after is control of your children. We'll talk more about it. And we'll talk about what we need to do to stand against it in seconds with Lowell Nelson on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Senators are very close to reaching a deal on legislation to sanction Russia over its actions on Ukraine, including some measures that may take effect before any invasion. Senators Bob Menendez, the Democrat chairman for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and James Risch, its top Republican, hope to move forward on the bill this week. Russia has been building up its forces on Ukraine's border for months and has made several demands from the West and NATO countries. Many homes and businesses were without power in Massachusetts after a historic blizzard hit the region over the weekend, with Boston tying its record for the most snowfall in one day, 23.6 inches, and recorded its sixth largest snowstorm of all time. Authorities in New York's Long Island have confirmed four storm-related deaths. New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
The heavy snow can result in widespread travel issues.
USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
It's really fantastic. You know, I'm pretty active sports-wise, and no muscle strains. I get up in the morning, like no stiff back, nothing. I never get sick. I mean, literally, never get sick. And if I feel like there's a little something coming on, I'll take like the mega dose. Next day, it's gone. I mean, just my overall health is fantastic. And I plan on continue taking this because I'm convinced it absolutely contributes to your well-being, to your health. It's keeping you healthy. Let your body do what it's supposed to do.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
Many of your favorite radio people were inspired by Dr. Johnny Fever. With that being said, we have some sad news to report.
I'm living on the air in Cincinnati.
Real life DJ turned actor who played a DJ turned history teacher, Howard Hessman, has died at the age of 81.
Well, it's goodbye to the elevator music.
Hessman playing radio disc jockey Dr. Johnny Fever on the sitcom WKRP in Cincinnati.
You're on WKRP. This is Dr. Johnny Fever just doing my job.
All right, Cincinnati, it is time for this town to get down. You got Johnny. Dr. Johnny Fever, and I am burning up in here.
Hessman earning two Emmy nominations for his work on the show, which ran from 1978 to 1982. He died over the weekend due to complications from colon surgery. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job on your radio. We're talking about the Utah legislative session, 45 days of reign of terror is what I like to call it. They're 9 days in. We're talking about this HB 99. They call it Civil Commitments Amendments, ladies and gentlemen. It is disaster. Why does the government need to be involved in this at all, Lowell?
Well, I asked that same question when they started 2 years ago, mandating masks and stuff. I mean, what business is it of the government to, you know, why do they want to protect my health? That's my responsibility, to protect my health, not theirs. They can just stay the heck out of it and let me take care of my health.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business, the details of which are very concerning in the bill, Lowell. Really, the details are kind of the got you in this. Who has control when is the real question, right?
Yes, that's the big question. You know, the state purports to control our children, right? They think it's, and I even, in my email to the legislator, I shared a story where that was in clear full display, where a doctor thought that he had control over my child. You know, I went to the doctor for his opinion, and I thanked him for his opinion. And then when I left the made ready to leave the hospital room, the doctor asked, "Where are you going?" You know, and I said, "Well, I'm going home." And we are going home. We're there together, my wife and our child. And he said, "Well, you know, I want to keep your daughter here for the night for observation." And I said, well, you know, she's going to be far more comfortable at home, familiar surroundings, love and concern, parents who know her better than anybody else. And the doctor was kind of upset at that. He kind of came unglued and said, well, you got to sign this release form right here because you're taking responsibility for your child. I thought to myself, well, duh, of course I'm taking responsibility for my child. I'm the parent, you know. But it just gives you see the mentality of the people who think that they own and are responsible for our children. And, you know, parents are the ones who are responsible. And so it's just, you know, when we get a law like this proposed like this, I mean, it boggles the mind. You know, somebody thinks that a child has a mental illness, then nothing as bad has happened. They just think that this child has a mental illness. They can take that child away from you, Sam, you the parent. And it's absolutely flat out wrong. It's a violation of the freedom of one's conscience, a violation of all of the due process clauses that we have enshrined in our Constitution. And it's just insanity. And I got so angry that I wrote this email, and I copied a bunch of my friends and family. And out of that, there's at least five other people who wrote their legislator about it. So hopefully we can kill this bill in committee. I guarantee this is madness to take a child without due process just on the testimony of one person thinking that your child has a mental illness. Sam?
Well, and you think of your personal example. Many Americans will have several other examples come to mind for them. But you know what? It makes me think of this convicted child molester named James Tubbs as well. Because, again, this is where the system makes the decisions. And when you look at the decisions they make, you go, is this for reals? I can't even imagine. Lol.
Well, this 26-year-old man in California, James Tubbs, he was convicted of molesting a 10-year-old girl, right, a juvenile female. And turns out that he's taken into custody. And after being arrested and taken into custody, he adopted a new gender, Sam. He is now purporting to be a lady. And so, he's still anatomically, he's a male. He hasn't undergone any gender reassignment surgery. He simply identifies. He thinks he's a girl. And so last year, California passed a law that allows convicted criminals to be housed in a facility based on the gender they claim to identify with. And so here's this guy. He's convicted of molesting a juvenile female, and now he is going to be in prison with other juvenile females for the duration of his prison term. It's just madness, Sam. I can't believe that this is the case. But this law went into effect January 1, that's just 30 days ago, January 1st of this year. Since that law took effect, Sam, there have been 261 requests for gender-based transfers filed by prisoners. Now, you can guarantee, Sam, most of those are going to be male prisoners wanting to be identified as females so that they can be housed with their female inmates in their prison, not their male inmates. Sam?
And you would say, well, Sam, hold on a minute. You know, this Utah legislative bill is so far from the James Tubbs case example you guys highlight. I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Because it concentrates power into the hands of the very few with tremendous power. Judge, jury, and executioner power all in one so-called professional or expert in the field or whatever. And yes, if there's good people, it may not go wrong. If Lowell Nelson's in charge and he says, of course you can take your child home. You're the parent. What are you thinking? Of course. It's a different ballgame. But when you look at the decisions these people are making, like, hey, this guy's a convicted child molester. He literally was 17 years old and hauled this little girl in there and, you know, did what he did. And you look at this and you go, how do they think this way, Lowell?
That's crazy, Sam. And it also, there's another bill in the Utah legislature about gender males competing in female sports. And what this bill says right now is that if you're a male and you want to compete with, in female sports, you can do so if you take gender hormone reassignment hormones for a year, right? So if you take these, these hormones for a year, which is supposed to change you from a male into a female, then you can compete in female sports. This is insane, Sam, this other bill I'm talking about, because that's an invitation for boys to take this hormone therapy so that they can compete against females in sports. It's just madness. It's like an invitation, like, here, do this, and then you can compete in female sports in your high school. It's just another example of the madness that pervades, the minds of our legislators.
What shocks me is how the media carries the ball for this. So the masses kind of get this as normal, and if you deviate from it, somehow you're not normal. But understand the very few that really control this, right? Think about the very few that said, hey, we're going to allow James Tubbs to go ahead and be with little female girls in prison now or whatever. So these little girls do something they ought not do when they're little. They make mistakes, but yet now they're in with this convicted molester, all on this premise that somehow he can just reassign his own gender by choice. And that somehow, okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is literally going against everything godly, moral, and of good report, James, or Lowell.
Yeah, you got that right, Sam. It just boggles the mind. And that's why it's so important for us folks to know what our legislators are doing. We have to know this stuff so that we can persuade them to do the right thing. And the good news is that they are persuadable. In other words, they like to be popular. And so if they have enough people beating on them, metaphorically speaking, beating on them to do one thing, they will do that one thing. So, sad but true. It'd be nicer if they had convictions that they followed, because then you would know how they're going to vote all the time. But most of them don't. They just, go with the wind, and whatever way the political wind is blowing, that's the way they go. Well, that just means that you and I have to make that political wind. We have to create that, and we do so by sending them emails, calling them up on the phone, sending texts. That pushes, that creates the political wind for them to blow with. So anyway, that's why it's so important, folks. I bring these stories to light so that you know that the idiocy going on there, so it might inspire you, like me, get me going to take some action of my own, Sam.
Amen to that. And I will say this too. A lot of Americans are frustrated because we can't move the needle towards liberty. These crazy stories and realities just keep assaulting all of us. But I submit to you, my fellow Americans, it is by our greater numbers shall we event change. And if we don't have the greater numbers, then it's going to be about impossible to make that change happen. Okay. And if you don't believe me, just point your sights right now to Canada. Justin Trudeau literally locking everybody down over vaccines and everything else, very hostile abuse. All this relates to the same idea, right? Same idea as this legislative situation where you get power concentrated in the hands of the very few. Well, you're seeing it in Canada. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
I'm up. I'm ready to go. All right.
On the 7th of June, when they highballed over the pass, Bulldog Mac with a can on back and a Jaguar hauling ass. He's 10 on the floor, stroking bore, seat cover starting to gain. Now, Beaver, you were trucking with a rubber duck, and I'm about to pull a plug on your drain.
All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio. We got us a convoy, sir.
I haven't heard that song for years and years, Sam. That's such a great song. I listened to that all the time as a kid growing up. Hot dog.
I used to play with CB radios all the time as a kid, too. Did you ever play with CB radios?
No, I didn't even have a radio. I mean, we only had one. We didn't even have a TV in our home. So, no, I just had a plain old radio. But, Sam, it looks like it's fun playing with one of those, I bet.
The reason I bring it up, I don't know if people understand, CB is Citizens Band, and it basically meant that everybody had a little kind of a, I don't know what you want to call it, basically a walkie-talkie in their car, or a walkie-talkie. Eventually they became handheld. They were called CBs, and they were a walkie-talkie, but you could communicate with everybody. It was like an open party channel, and if you put a big old antenna on your truck or whatever else, you could literally go 10, 20, 30, 40 miles, 50 miles, and you know, et cetera. And everybody would talk, and so you'd say breaker, breaker, and then the number 19 or whatever channel you were on, and you could talk to all kinds of people all over your local area. And so everybody didn't want to give out their real names, especially females, right? And so everybody had what they called a handle, and everybody just had a nickname. And so I had a nickname on the CB back then. Guess my nickname. You probably can't guess it, lol, but it relates to the radio. I was called Jabberjaw, sir.
Jabberjaw, breaker,
that's
breaker,
right.
19, Jabberjaw.
This here's Jabberjaw telling you we got a convoy in Canada.
Well, this is a 40-mile-long convoy, Jabberjaw, crossing Canada. They started in British Columbia last Sunday. They arrived in the capital city of Ottawa just this past weekend, Friday and Saturday. So just a couple days ago, it took them all week. They traveled all across the Canada from the west coast to the east coast, basically, involving about 50,000 truckers, Sam, including supporters who drove up from the U.S. as well. And so why do they do this? Well, because Canada and the U.S., basically mandated that if you're a trucker and you want to cross the border into Canada, you have to be vaccinated. And then the U.S. made a similar reciprocal policy. If you're a trucker wanting to cross from Canada into the U.S., you had to be vaccinated. And so this really upset the Canadian truck drivers. And so they hit upon this convoy, and they drove across Canada, had tremendous support all week long. And then there in the Ottawa, the capital city there in Ottawa, these thousands and thousands of people gathered. I saw some of the footage. We're talking big, big time, lots of crowds. Now, some people in the group, Sam, they plan to stay there until the government rescinds the vaccine mandate. And I hope they do. I hope they stay, and I hope the mandate is rescinded. And this is the same Prime Minister Trudeau who said nearly 2 years ago, he admiringly, he said that the truckers were heroes. He said, well, many of us are working from home. There are others who weren't able to do that, like truck drivers who are working day and night to make sure our shelves are stocked. So when you can, please thank a trucker for everything they're doing and help them however you can. That was his tweet he sent out 2 years ago. Now here it is, January of 22, and he mandates that they have to be vaccinated. Yeah, some help, big guy.
Well, it's, and that's the trouble, Lowell. They talked about the frontline nurses and doctors and medical personnel and everybody else when this started, and they said, hey, they were heroes. Now they're turning on every one of them, forcing vaccinations as well. The sad part about this whole thing is there's a lot of support from the truckers, as we mentioned, about 50,000 of them, a literal convoy 40-plus miles long. But the mainstream press really is black this story out, Lowell. That's really the telltale, because if you can get millions of Americans backing the truckers, tide would turn against the bureaucrats. But this is where the very few control the many, and you and I got to fight hard to jettison that narrative and tell the truth, Lowell.
That's exactly right. And you can do that by going to convoyreports.com and looking at the, I mean, you can spread the tale. It's up to us to be the media in these types of things. We're the citizen reporters. We spread the news, and it gets out there very fast if we'll do just that. Now, some of the best signs, Sam, that I saw in the footage and the pictures that I watched, things like stop the mandates, freedom doesn't require permission. And then there were a couple that I think are kind of unique to Canada. One was, oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. There was a lot of signs with that particular slogan on it, Sam. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Another one I saw. God keep our land glorious and free. That seemed to be a real popular one associated with the Canadian flag. And then there were, of course, a couple others that I thought were really catchy. This one, Trudeau must go. Yeah, you could chant that, you know, Trudeau must go, you know, Trudeau must go. And then, of course, one really tickled my funny bone is Truck Trudeau. Kind of like Let's Go Brandon, you know. This sign says Truck Trudeau. And very interesting. But this kind of signage was all over the convoy, all over the big protests and rallies being held in Ottawa on Saturday, and absolutely disquietude of the people, in the words of James Madison, disquietude of the people. One other tweet that I'll mention, Sam, Elon Musk tweeted this. He said, if you scare people enough, they will demand removal of freedom. This is the path to tyranny, end of quote. Very true, Sam.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All I can tell you is this is an example where the mainstream press not even reporting what's really happening. This is international because it's the United States and Canada. But you know what? The power of the individual has tremendous, tremendous power, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about John Hansen to make the point. You know who he is? Try the first president of, well, you could call it under the Articles of Confederation, really the first president of the United States in many ways, right, Lowell?
Yep, that's what people from his hometown there in Maryland say. He was the first president of the United States. Well, he was actually the first president of the Confederated States of America because, as you remember, the states operated for a time, almost a decade, from 1781 to 1789. That's about 8-9 years. Under the Articles of Confederation, right? You know, nobody remembers that decade, but the states operated under the Articles of Confederation for almost a decade. Now, John Hansen is the name of the gentleman who was president of the Confederated States of America. His grandfather came to Maryland as an indentured servant about 1661, and although John had no formal education, he could read, and he often read the essays of Seneca, the Roman philosopher. Now, Sam, I haven't read anything that Seneca wrote, but it sounds like this gentleman was very well educated. even though he didn't go to, attend school, he's very well educated, well read. Well, John Hansen became a farmer. He farmed Mulberry Grove directly across the Potomac River from none other than Mount Vernon. Interesting, you know, that John Hanson became first president of the Confederated States and George Washington became first president of the United States of America. Very interesting. Well, the reason I'm taking some time on this, Sam, is just to let you know how much of an impact or an influence one person can have on things. So in November of 1781, Hanson became the first president of Congress. And under the Articles of Confederation, the states had no executive branch. And so the president of Congress was that president, basically the president of the Confederated States. It's mostly a ceremonial position, but it did require a good deal of correspondence and stuff like that, ceremonial duties. And so Hanson found the work tedious. He wanted to resign, but his departure would have left Congress without a quorum to select a successor. And so out of a sense of duty, he remained. No one had ever been president before, and the role was poorly defined. And so his actions in office actually set precedent for all future presidents that rest of that decade. He took office just as the Revolutionary War ended. And almost immediately, the troops demanded to be paid, as one might expect. But there were no funds to meet the demand for pay. And so soldiers, they threatened to overthrow the new government and put Washington on the throne as king. We talked about that situation, too. Well, Washington helped to put down, to quench that rebellion, as you well remember. As President Hanson ordered all foreign troops off of American soil, removal of all foreign flags, he established the Great Seal of the United States, he established the Treasury Department, he established the Foreign Affairs Department, and lastly, he declared that the fourth Thursday of every November was to be Thanksgiving Day. Boy, howdy, that's a great holiday, one of my favorite, probably my favorite holiday, Thanksgiving, and it was all started because of John Hanson. Well, Hanson retired from public office after his one-year term as president, and in poor health, he died 1 year later. Now, you might think his life was of little consequence, but listen to this. One of his nephews was military secretary to George Washington. Another signed the Declaration of Independence. Another was a signer of the Constitution. And another was governor of Maryland during the Revolution, and still another was a member of the first Congress. Two of his boys were killed in action with the Continental Army. A grandson served as a member of Congress under the new Constitution. Another grandson was a Maryland senator. And so even if Hanson had not served as president himself, he would have greatly contributed to the life of the nation through his progeny. So the bottom line, Sam, is this: the power of an individual to make a difference for good. Let us each stand tall in our effort to make a difference in this sacred cause of liberty, Sam.
I want to be just like John Hanson. I don't need my name recognized. It isn't about me. It isn't about John. It isn't about being a hero or a rock star. It is about the power of one, ladies and gentlemen. You can make a difference for good. You got to stand tall in our efforts to back the sacred cause of liberty. That's what this fight is about. You know what? At some point, you won't even know most of these truckers' names. But you'll know they stood for liberty and they stood for freedom and they stood for people to make their own choices. And that's really what we need to stand for and be part of in America, ladies and gentlemen. We really need to make a difference there. It's going to take a lot of work. Now, Jacob Hornberger wrote two articles. I hope we can save these and get to them next week. We just don't have time. One of them is called A Time for Introspection. And another one is called The Cold War Racket Never Ended for the United States. Both of them relate to following the Prince of Peace, which we ought to do. We ought to really think about who we are, where we stand, what we're doing. Are we advocating for justice and honor in the American way? Are we standing tall as individuals for the sacred cause of liberty? Are we really doing all within our power? Lowell, thank you so much, sir. Great work.
Well, thank you, Sam. A hat tip to Rebel News. If you go to convoyreports.com, it's really the rebelnews.com that's keeping the fire burning under this story about the convoy in Canada. Hats off to them, Sam.
And they say they got well over 8 reporters, and then I would submit to them countless talk shows telling the tale of liberty along with them. We can circumvent the mainstream press if we stand together and use our greater numbers. For Sam and Lowell, campaignforliberty.org, God save the Republic of the United States of America.